This is VOA News. I'm Alexis Strope. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken spent the weekend crisscrossing through the Middle East, engaging in shuttle diplomacy over the Israel-Hamas war. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken was visiting Middle East leaders, calling for a humanitarian pause to get hostages released and humanitarian aid to Gaza. But in a surprise meeting in Baghdad with the leader of Iraq, Blinken warned against militants stepping up drone attacks against U.S. forces in the Middle East.
Don't do it. I made very clear that the attacks, the threats coming from militia that are aligned with Iran, are totally unacceptable.
Earlier, Blinken met with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, envisioning a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian crisis. I'm Jackie Quinn.
The U.S. military has acknowledged positioning a nuclear-capable submarine in the Middle East. It provided no other details in its online statement Sunday, though it posted an image that appeared to show a submarine in Egypt's Suez Canal near its Suez Canal Bridge. U.S. acknowledgement of an Ohio-class submarine location is incredibly rare, as they represent part of America's so-called, quote, nuclear triad of atomic weapons, which also includes land-based ballistic missiles and nuclear bombs aboard strategic bombers. Negotiators on a climate-related loss and damages fund have agreed the World Bank will temporarily oversee the International Fund to help poor countries hit hard by a warming planet. The U.S. and several developing countries expressed disappointment at the draft agreement reached after the tense negotiations at a climate meeting in Abu Dhabi. The draft will be sent for global leaders to sign at the COP28 climate conference that begins in Dubai in late November. For pictures, videos, stories, and more, follow the Voice of America on X, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. This is VOA News. Battle-weary Ukrainian soldiers are preparing for another winter at war with Russia as Ukrainian citizens brace for another season of cold temperatures and possible Russian attacks on the power grid. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has more.
On the front lines in Ukraine's Donetsk region, soldiers staffing artillery say they've noticed an uptick in Russian artillery use over the last month, something the South Korean intelligence service blames on its northern neighbor after alleging Pyongyang provided Moscow with more than a million shells. It's all adding up to a situation wearing down on soldiers and civilians alike.
A lot of people, of course, in the world are tired. Of course, it's understandable. Somebody tired on the battlefield.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky speaking Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Aid groups say Afghans fleeing a deportation drive in Pakistan lack shelter, food, and warmth once they cross the border. VOA's Joe Ramsey reports.
Hundreds of thousands of Afghans have left Pakistan in recent weeks as authorities pursue foreigners they say are in the country illegally, going door to door to check migrants' documentation. Pakistan set October 31st as a deadline to leave the country or else they'd be arrested. The Taliban have set up camps on the other side for people to stay in while they wait to be moved to their place of origin in Afghanistan. But the land is barren and flat and there is no infrastructure or privacy, aid groups said Sunday. Joe Ramsey, VOA News.
A runner from Ethiopia sets a course record to win the New York City Marathon men's race on Sunday, while a Kenyan pulls away in the final 400 meters to take the women's title. AP correspondent Julie Walker reports.
32-year-old Tamarat Tola is the men's winner of the New York City Marathon with a record time of 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 58 seconds.
I'm happy. I am coming to New York for third time, two times number four. Now I am win. This is first time major winning for me.
While the men's race of the New York City Marathon was well decided before the last few miles, the women's race came down to the stretch with a trio of runners exchanging leads until 33-year-old Helen Obiri finished first in 2 hours, 27 minutes, and 23 seconds. Julie Walker, New York.
South Korea says it plans to launch its first domestically built spy satellite at the end of this month as part of its effort to better monitor rival North Korea. The plan that was unveiled days after North Korea failed to follow through on its vow to make a third attempt to launch its own reconnaissance satellite in October. South Korea's defense ministry said Monday that the country's first military spy satellite will be launched from California's Vandenberg Air Force Base on November 30th. I'm Alexis Strope, VOA News.